Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that each week you take the time to listen to these messages. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We meet at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you can't make it in person, which many of you can't, you can always join our live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, chat, offer up prayers, worship, and grow in grace. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and click on the weekly children's message, the weekly sermons, or just the weekly worship services. We want you to grow in grace. It's our prayer that we would all come to know the love of God in a real and personal way. And when this love touches our hearts and transforms us, we'll grow in the amazing grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're then called to go and sow seeds of faith in our world. We are called to be the light in this dark world. We are called to be salt as we flavor the place as we go with the love and grace of God. Today, we're going to spend a little bit of time looking into one little word, hope. Hope, H-O-P-E, hope. I've been thinking about hope all week. I've wrestled with questions about hope. Who listening today needs hope? I've wrestled with that question. What does hope look like for you? Who or what gives us hope? How do we hold on to hope in times of trials and tribulations? We're going to look at two Old Testament verses and one New Testament reading. Depending on your translation of the Bible, the word hope is used, well, many times. In the NIV, which we'll be reading from today, the word hope is used 191 times in 181 verses. We do not have time to look at all those verses, but we'll look at probably three today. Before we begin to read God's living word, let us come to the throne of the living God in a moment of prayer. God of grace, mercy, and hope, fill us more and more each day with your living hope, hope that will transform our lives. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 40, chapter 28, verses chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. The prophet writes, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Now turn to Jeremiah 29:11 through 14. Many of you know this verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." And then our New Testament reading, 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What comes to your mind when you hear the word hope? Well, many of you know that if you've been listening to these programs or you know me personally, I love acronyms. They help me to hold on to the word that I am studying. So here you go. Here are a few acronyms that have helped me through the years with hope. Heaven's One Promise, Emmanuel. Heaven's One Promise, Emmanuel, H-O-P-E. Or Heaven's One Promise, Eternity. The next one I hold on to is Hold On, Pray Expectantly. Hold on, pray expectantly, H-O-P-E. I read this one this week in preparation for the message, and it goes like this. Hang on to the promises, overcome adversity, pursue truth and believe, endure trials patiently. It was written by Leona Atkinson. Those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what Isaiah writes in Isaiah 40:31. When the prophet Isaiah is prophesying to the people of Judah around 700 B.C. to 681 B.C., he is calling for the people to return to God. His people have been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. As always, put yourself in the word or story, and then put the word or story in you. Can you even imagine another country conquering us and bringing us to another foreign land? Here in chapter 40, Isaiah is trying to encourage the people to hold on to hope. Viktor Frankl was one of Europe's leading psychiatrists, but from 1942 to 1945, he endured imprisonment in Auschwitz and three other Nazi concentration camps. He saw what made the difference between the survivors and the people who died, and it wasn't a matter of physical health and strength. What made the difference between the living and the dead was hope. Having something to live for beyond the barbed wire, something to look forward to, something to go home to after the war. He wrote about it in a book called Man's Search for Meaning. This is what he said, and I'm going to quote him. The prisoner who had lost faith in the future, his future, was doomed. With his loss of belief in the future, he also lost his spiritual hold. He let himself decline and become subject to mental and physical decay. Usually this happened quite suddenly in the form of a crisis, the symptoms of which were familiar to the experienced camp inmates. Usually it began with a prisoner refusing one morning to get dressed and wash or go out to the parade grounds. No pleas, no blows, no threats had any effort. He just lay there hardly moving. If this crisis was brought about by an illness, he refused to be taken to the sick bay or to do anything to help himself. He simply gave up. There he remained, lying in his own body, and nothing bothered him anymore. We live today in a world that is running at 100 miles an hour in all directions. We have so many things that divide us. Religious practices, political points of view, economic stress, educational structures, health concerns. Wow. Where do we find hope? I love the movie Chariots of Fire. There's a scene in which the Scottish athlete Eric Liddell is racing against some of his countrymen. During the early part of the race, another runner bumps into him and Liddell falls forward with his arms outstretched and crashes onto the turf. Onlookers groan disappointedly, assuming that he's out of the race. But even though the other runners are 20 yards ahead of him, Liddell gets up and begins sprinting at top speed toward the pack. As they come to the final stretch, he passes one runner after another and then, in typical fashion, throws his head back and sprints victoriously across the finish line. Although Liddell collapsed, exhausted in the arms of his friends, everyone knows from that day on that he is destined for greatness. We can learn a lot from Liddell. How many times have you fallen down in the race of life? Do we give up and say, it is hopeless? Or do we get up and say, it isn't over? I heard this the other day. It isn't over till the faith lady sings. I thought that's interesting. It isn't over till the faith lady sings. Get up, have hope, and let's get the race finished. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. Time to get up and finish the race. We just finished 9 weeks in Romans chapter 8, if you've been listening to the programs. 9 weeks. We learned that there's no condemnation and no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We learned that God has not given us a spirit of fear to fall back into slavery, but he's given us a spirit of adoption. We learned that in Christ we are more than conquerors. So what? Why aren't we more than conquerors? What's missing? Is it hope? The story of Eric Liddell tells us that he was more than a conqueror. The story of Viktor Frankl tells us that he was more than a conqueror. What did they have in common? Hope. The people of Israel had fallen and struggled following God. In Isaiah 40, the prophet reminds the people who God is and what God can do. For many, Isaiah 40, 31 is a life verse. I'll read it to you again slowly. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What does Isaiah teach the people who have been in captivity and feel like God has forgotten them? Listen again to verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. There are five things that Isaiah teaches the Israelites, and he teaches us about God. God is eternal and everlasting. God is the creator of everything. God is always at work. God is wise and filled with understanding. His understanding is unsearchable. God gives and gives and gives graciously. God is a giver. The truth be told is that God wants to be involved in our lives to make his power perfect in our weakness. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon and write your prayer. If you want to reply, there's a section there for a reply. If you want to write me personally, you can email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship. The word group and faint, F-A-I-N-T, or to be grow weary, are the key in the passages in Isaiah 40. Don't you see it? Open your Bible and look at it. Don't you hear it? Isaiah, God is speaking to the weak, tired, discouraged people. How many of us need to take this straight into our hearts? So what? What is God saying to you today in the times that we live in? Hold on, pray expectantly. Isaiah reminds the people to hope in the Lord. Do not put your hope in your health. Do not put your hope in your finances. Do not put your hope in your education. Do not put your hope in the government. Do not put your hope in anything other than the Lord. When you put your hope in the Lord, you will renew your strength and mount up on eagle's wings. You will run and not get weary. You will walk and not faint. Amen and amen and amen. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. By the time the prophet Jeremiah comes on the scene, the people of Israel have been in captivity, and they will be in captivity for 70 years. In the opening of chapter 29, Jeremiah tells the people to settle down and plant fields, build houses, give their children in marriage, seek the peace and prosperity of the places that he has placed them. He says, you're going to be there 70 years. Over 27 years ago, I became an ordained minister. They don't teach you in seminary how to leave your home and go to a strange land where you don't belong. It's not easy. Everything changes. My wife and I were youth leaders for 15 years at our home church. I was on the elder board term after term. My wife ran the church preschool. And there we were, moving to Southwest Missouri for our first call in a strange land and a strange people. Then God moved us to Southern California. Then God moved us to Texas. Then God moved us back to Southern California. Wow. In those many years. Jeremiah 29:11 became a standard for us. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and hope. It didn't take long, about 18 months in my first call, that people decided that they didn't want to change. And they decided they didn't like me. They didn't like my wife. They all wanted their old ways and made no bones about it. How can we find hope when the plans we make seem to fall apart? This letter from home in Jerusalem was written to encourage the people in captivity to hold on to hope. Notice the one who makes the plans. The pronoun I is all about God. God knows the plans. God knows the plans. These are God's plans for us, not our plans. They're God's plans for even our plans. God insists on his right to know the plans that he has for us. God has the plans. This is a message and a much needed reminder that our best position in life is a life of surrender. A good way to read this verse is to put your church's name in the place of the pronoun you. I do it for the Seed here. For I know the plans that I have for the Seed Christian Fellowship, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper the Seed Christian Fellowship and not to harm the Seed Christian Fellowship. Plans to give the Seed Christian Fellowship hope and a future. It's Jeremiah 29:11. I put my church's name in there. Put your name in there. We know what happened when COVID came, how it affected the churches. COVID affected many churches. The Seed had to relocate. We were meeting in a community center. The community center closed. We changed our worship time. That usually spells disaster for most churches, yet we must believe that this was all went through the Savior's nail-scarred hands, for I know the plans I have for the Seed Christian Fellowship. Wow, plans to prosper the Seed and not to harm it, plans for a future and a hope. Lord, we put this tiny little seed church into your great giant hands, and we pray forth your hope and your future. To make it more personal, put your name in the place of the pronoun you. For I know the plans that I have for Dave. Put your name there, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper Dave. Or plans prosper. Put your name in there, not to harm Dave. Plans to give Dave a hope and a future. I believe what follows verse 29 is so important to our hope. If you read verse 29, that's a wonderful verse to hold on to. We're told that when we come to God, call upon God, and pray to God, God will listen. That's what it says. If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, I'll be found by you, and I'll bring you back from captivity. Listen, God's not playing hide and seek. When we seek God, we will find God if we seek him with all of our hearts. There, what Jeremiah is telling us is there is a hope because God does not play hide and seek. Seek God today. I don't know what you're wrestling with. I don't know what's holding you back. I don't know if you've fallen down like Eric Liddell. Time to get up and seek God. 1 Peter. Let's go to that real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great mercy. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a hope that renews us and lifts us up on wings of eagles. We have a hope for our future when we live with a living hope. When David Livingstone appeared at the University of Glasgow to receive the honorary Doctor of Law degrees, he was received with silent respect. He was gaunt and weary from 16 years of exposure to Africa's hardship. One arm hung useless at his side because of an attack by a lion. Livingstone asked, "Shall I tell you what supported me through all these years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this: though I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, Matthew 28:20. Can you imagine 16 years in a hostile land where you don't understand the language or the culture? When Peter writes this letter in 62 AD to the early church and Christians, they are being persecuted. Peter wants the followers of Christ to know that they have a living hope because of the resurrection of Christ. Our hope consists of an inheritance. This is being kept for us in heaven. Peter finds it difficult to find words that do justice in capturing the greatness of this future inheritance and living hope in describing it. He can do no better than use three words that tell us what this hope is. It is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. So what? A living hope to sustain David Livingstone, a living hope that strengthened Viktor Frankl, a living hope filled Eric Liddell to get back up and not only finish the race, but win it. Today we come in this time of worship and reading of the Word to a living hope of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. This is the hope given to us by God, His hope that promises to renew us, restore us, and give us all we need so that we are able to mount up on wings of eagle and not grow weary. I remember thinking I was a failure as a pastor after my first church experience. We had given up everything we knew and loved. We had trusted God's plan. That first church experience gave us the hope to move to a really foreign land called California. I can tell you when we told our friends back in Illinois that we were leaving the church in Southwest Missouri to go to California. This is funny, but some people said, California, are there any Christians in California? Are you sure you want to go to California? This was back in 1999. We moved from Missouri 2,000 miles away from home. And as the people say, we were in a land, well, they called it the land of fruits and nuts and flakes. One day early in our move here, I brought my wife, Jacqueline, to the Ontario Mall, which is a mall right outside of our area, to see a movie. And she had been missing home, and she had been crying. I don't remember the movie, but I do remember walking out to our car. It was about dusk. The sun was setting on the San Gabriel Mountains. I said to my wife, look up. Look at that. And the sun was setting over the San Gabriel Mountains. I said, we get to live here. From the ashes of a failed church ministry, God brought us to a land that we love, to a people we love, to a church of His very heart. We are filled with hope. You know that saying, it isn't over till the faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith lady sings. Well, there's an addition to that saying. It isn't over till the hope lady sings. Do you need hope? Let's pray. God, we bow our heads and surrender our lives. You are the God of faith, hope, and love. Right now, we ask for the hope that we need to live the lives you have planned for us. Give us living hope and a future filled with your plans. Give us your faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My prayer is that you'll know the living hope, the hope that is given to us as an inheritance that's kept in heaven, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. God bless. Live in a living hope. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week, and remember, God loves you. and so do we.